if you believe assault is an act, not an adjective, your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Now that is how you're supposed to get up in the morning. That's what I'm talking about. Welcome to 2A Radio, everyone. Thank you very much, RJ Hinder, for sending the audience off to us here at 2A. Well, last night, some jackass decided to park an empty U-Haul truck on the Robert F. Kennedy Bridge heading over into Manhattan. Now, of course, everybody sees this. A toll worker calls. Everything's closed down. The bridge is closed. Bomb squad goes in there. They check the entire truck. Cut a hole in the side to look inside. There, absolutely nothing. Nothing at all. They said it smelled a bit like gasoline. Guys, it's a U-Haul truck. Something tells me it very well may have just broken down. I think they keep those things for 17.8 billion miles before they offload them. Anyhow, I very much feel... We had a caller yesterday that said that... The whole thing in Times Square might have been that they are testing response time. Well, that really rang true when I heard this story this morning. I got up and I saw this story on the news, and it made a whole lot of sense to think, you know, we had the whole thing in Oklahoma City with Timothy McVeigh and his Ryder truck. Now somebody rented themselves a U-Haul. I wonder if they're trying to pit the two together. It's kind of a sorry attempt at a joke. We've got the U-Haul truck sitting on the RFK Bridge, and the guy just gets up and walks away. Evidently has not come back to claim the truck. Then again, it could just be a New Yorker who's pretty pissed off that, you know, this U-Haul didn't work. Screw it, I'm leaving it here. I'm going to rent something from Budget or Penske or something, or Enterprise, whatever. Going to go rent a better truck. Forget them. Leave that thing there. They can come get it. Or... it is a response time test, because here's what happens in most of these emergency services sorts of fields. Oh, we have an emergency. We are going to hard focus right through into tunnel vision on this one thing, and we're going to save the world while 6, 7, 8 other things behind them are being set into motion. Imagine this, guys. If you really wanted to set something off, in a major metropolis. In this case, we're going to use New York hypothetically, only because that's what's been in the news recently. You put, I don't know, half a dozen different things around the city. Then you create the distraction. Once everybody is concentrated fully on that distraction, the other things quickly get put into place, and whatever their intent is gets acted upon immediately. I have to tell you, anytime I am out in public or in a crowded place and there is a big noise or a big distraction of some kind that garnishes everybody's attention looking in a specific direction, the first thing I do is turn around to see what's coming from my six. That is a now secondary, has now become a natural instinct. I wasn't born with it. I was trained into it. Because I'm not going to look over here where everybody else is looking. I'm going to turn around and see what's coming from behind us that can get us. Our eyes are in the front of our head because we're hunters, not on the side of our head because we're a bunch of grass eaters. And we don't have eyes in the back of our head. We've got to physically turn around and see what's going on. I'd recommend that to the NY Emergency Services. More after the break.
Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome back from the break, everyone. Now, we have a system of government throughout the world. Pretty much just about every single nation in the world has this, except for possibly the case of Somalia, where they have no operational government, where you have the people who are actually in the government, part of the government. That's their job. That's what they do. It is them, and then everyone else in the government is part of the them. Everyone who's not part of the government is the other group. You get this? Actually, I guess it's more so that it is them who are not in the government and us who are. Them and us. There's always a them and us. Unless, of course, you're not part of the group, then there's the us and the government is them. There's always a them and us. And it's not necessarily a versus us. There's just two different classes. Look, we are the government. I'm part of the government. He's part of the government. She's part of the government. They're part of the government. Everybody around over here is part of the government. And we're going to sequester ourselves in this area, in this Capitol building, in this Capitol city, in whatever it is. We are the government. You are not. Our job is to do stuff which relates to your life. Good, bad, or indifferent, however it comes out. There is a them and us. And that is a fundamental problem with the way things are. Because the very, very small infantile percentage of the government people, to us, it would be them. Get it? The them and us. To us, it would be them. I mean, the percentage of Americans that are actually part of a government system is incredibly low. But that incredibly small percentage does all kinds of things that affect the rest of us. Now, it is an adversarial relationship. I believe it is more adversarial if you're in the government looking out at everyone who is not. Look, we're doing these things, and this is what you guys are going to do about it, and that is follow the rules that we're setting. Now, the federal government and many state governments and even some local governments in this country that have fallen into this trap and really divided with a huge wedge. There's now a very large, deep, and treacherous moat between the thems and the us's, the government and the non-government. In certain areas, it's not bad at all. In a lot of areas, it's very, very big. Now, the government, the federal government, has done the same thing with foreign policy throughout the world. Now, if you go around, you travel throughout the world, and you ask people, what are their versions of the United States? Or what are their depictions of America? What is their opinion? How have we positioned our own image around the world? Guys, it's not very good. Everybody out there know who Brent Roethlisberger is? He's the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Well, it has come out in the last couple of months that he has an entitlement attitude. I should be able to go where I want to go, do what I want to go do. Because, hey, don't you know who I am? I am Brent freaking Roethlisberger. And you should bow at my feet because I am a sports star. And I bring it home, baby. If I want to rape your wife, daughter, or this chick over here, I'm going to. I might even do all of them. If I want to get to the head of the line over there, then that's the way it's going to go down. If I go to check into my hotel and somebody else has a nicer suite, I want them booted out and I'm going to get their suite. That's just the way it is. It's disgusting to think that people actually operate that way, isn't it? Folks, that is exactly what the federal government of this country has done across the world. That is exactly the opinion that people across this globe have of we, the American people. And it's not perpetrated by we, the American people. It's perpetrated by the people in the government. It's the same thing with gun owners. Those who are not gun owners, the stigmatism of a gun owner in America, is a bunch of redneck, toothless hillbillies in the back of an old beat-up 4x4 pickup truck with a light bar, running around, hooting and hollering, woo-ha! Loading our shotguns and blasting everything in sight, while Bubba 1 up front, Bubba Senior, is hammered down through the backcountry, and we are slugging all the beer and whiskey we can, throwing the bottles up in the air, and boom, with our 12 gauges. Yeehaw! Wearing our coonskin caps. That is the image of gun owners. Now, is that what most gun owners truly are? The answer is unequivocally no. Are there some gun owners like that? The answer is unequivocally and unfortunately, yes. Folks, what I'm getting at is the federal government has created so much hate and discontent across the globe with their foreign policy, or lack of proper foreign policy, as the case may be. They've also created a lot of hate and discontent here at home with we the people. The folks on the other side of the moat that they have increased and made so deep and treacherous between the two. There's been a separation. So the federal government has actually created so much animosity outside of the borders with foreign policy. And now so much animosity with the rest of us in this country through their national policy. That the federal government is completely broken. Absolutely, completely broken. And how do they want to make it so they can still stay in charge? Well, you would think that having a strong military is something that you would keep as a speak softly and carry a big stick. No. They go ahead and announce, we're not going to be using nuclear weapons, except for maybe in a few scenarios, but relatively pretty much no, we're not going to do that. And then a month later, oh, and by the way, here is our nuclear inventory, which has been considered not just top secret, guys, but read in well beyond top secret, to the point where you might have had literally 3 or 4 dozen people in the entire country who truly knew what the capabilities and the size of our actual nuclear response is, what our nuclear arsenal truly is. Nope, now we know we got some, what, 5,200 nuclear warheads or something, plus a bunch of older ones that we're looking to decommission. Great. Now 6 billion people, potentially, know what our nuclear capability is in this country. It's well beyond enough destroying the world a few times over, but still, that's always been a secret. So now our lousy foreign policy is being backed up by a neutered defense strategy. But here on the domestic front, we have a very strong citizenry that is getting even stronger because we're recognizing this problem in Washington. We're recognizing what's going on. And what are they doing? They're trying to pass and have successfully already passed some legislation to keep us down, to push us back into the corner any further. See, look, we're running this show. We in the government have got this ship. You stand back and swab the poop deck and do what we tell you to. We're running this, mother, and we're going to run it wherever the hell we want to. And anybody else out there that doesn't like it, too bad. We're going to be friends with who has been our enemies. And we're going to really show our hand first to show them how friendly we are. That's like playing poker with a nemesis, somebody you really don't like. And tell them, look, we should get along. We play poker together. We're at the same saloon. Oftentimes we sit at the same table. We're at least near each other. Let's be friends. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to show you 2 of my cards that I'm holding in my hand. Just so you understand that I'm feeling good. Okay, how about that? Now, why don't you show me a couple of cards? Here's my 2 cards. Show me a couple of your cards, too, and we'll call it good. And the other poker player looks at you and say, son, are you stupid? Are you an absolute moron showing me your cards? I'm under no obligation to have to show you mine, sucker. That's what the Obama regime is now doing. Has already done. And is continuing to do. That's on the foreign policy side. On the national policy side, the Congress, which solely exists to protect our liberties and to negotiate with foreign governments and the Indians and to regulate interstate commerce. That is their job. Protect our liberties, negotiate and do trade with foreign countries, Native Americans, and to regulate interstate commerce. That is the sole purpose of Congress. They've now told us we have to buy insurance, health insurance, and the Internal Revenue Service will be overseeing this. You now have to take, this has now become a direct tax. And income cannot be considered a direct tax. It is not a pleasure. It is not something that is it's a God-given right, guys. We're born in this country. It is not some sort of a fancy deal for us to be able to live here and be able to work. This is a right of ours. It is not a privilege. It's not a privilege to work. It's not a privilege to be in this country. When we are born here and we're working here, they cannot exercise a direct tax in the form of health insurance. And they're really ticking off the American citizenry. Stay tuned, guys. More after the break.
I've been roaming around, always looking down at all I see.
You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
And welcome back, everyone. So continuing on with this, I'm going to start to draw in draw these whole things together. The federal government is doing their very, very best to make it impossible to speak out against them or to get together and peaceably assemble to redress our grievances. How are they doing that? Well, again, they're arguing that all cell phone records and cell phone transmissions belong to the carriers and offer absolutely no privacy whatsoever to those of us who are citizens. Well, that'd be interesting. That means that we should be able to eavesdrop in and find out what's going on over the federal phone lines. When Obama wants to call and speak to somebody, we should have free and clear access to that. Wouldn't you agree? What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Oh, no. Oh, no, we can't do that. That's national security stuff right there. Even if it's national security against us trying to just get everyone who's not part of the government secured into your own little pin that you cannot escape from. Additionally, the Obama regime has tried and now is in their second or third form now of trying to find a way to regulate the internet. Well, one set of federal judges said you can't do that. It is free and open to everyone. So now what they're doing is they're attempting to reclassify the internet as a telephone sort of a network. With that, they can regulate it all they want. Then how difficult is it going to be for people to get together with the Tea Party movements or other, hey, we're not happy about this government thing movement. How difficult is that going to be? We are going to be subjected to being subjects. Chiming in on this happens to be Mike calling from Kentucky. Mike, welcome to 2A Radio.
Yeah, hey, you're on one of my pet peeves here, and I think it's far more extensive than anybody will admit to.
Am I pushing that button this morning, Mike?
Oh, the phones, from my experience, and I believe I have direct empirical evidence of this, but nobody wants to entertain it. I've called news producers while it's happening and let them listen in to it. And I've had this problem for like, I would say it's approaching over 3 years, maybe 4 years, where calls are getting diverted to my fax line here at the local TV station, and it's the audio of phones that are on the hook. These phones are not you know, it's people walking around with them in their pocket or in the purse at construction sites or daycare centers or, you know, just at a, well, I had one a couple of weeks ago that was a restaurant in Lebanon, Kentucky, and it turns out it was a, you know, a cordless phone, and I put the audio out over the air for everybody to witness. And I've also got a YouTube video of this occurring, because I've got fed up with it. I called the phone companies twice, and reported it. I've caught phone technicians and talked about it. I've demonstrated it to the son of an ex-National Security Agency guy, and he didn't freak out until he actually saw it happen. He was like, well, how do I prevent them from listening into my cell phone?
So it sounds like somebody's listening in on these phones, and somehow it's getting forwarded onto your fax machine where you're listening in as well.
It is a routing error, I think, because they've got so much going on that they've had, you know, glitches, and for some reason it ended up getting routed to my phone. Now, I almost wonder, you know, how accidental it is, if it's maybe some covert whistleblower trying to, knowing that I would talk about it, has routed it to my phone somehow. I mean, I don't know, but I can't get Howard Stern interested in it. I had it happen to a cousin of one of his producers, who I told him what he had done since he had got off of work, picked up his son, what he'd talked to, and he was listening to Howard Stern on his XM radio. I told him what channel it was on, told him some of the commercials that were playing in it. And, you know, through content recognition software, they have obsoleted Nielsen and Arbitron ratings for radio and television, because if they're listening in that you're sitting and watching television, they recognize Oprah Winfrey's voice print. They know you're watching Oprah Winfrey on the TV. So what do they need with the Nielsen families anymore? You know? So, I mean, this, I believe, is system-wide. They just announced a server the other day, like within the last 2 or 3 months, some new computer server that has the terabyte equivalent to throughput, the amount of information that's contained in a Library of Congress in 1 second.
I read about that.
So you can imagine if they've got a facility of 18 acres of mainframe computers underground at Fort Meade, how much can they suck through that many servers?
Mike, let me ask you something. Have you ever called Don and John at the Control Factor with this?
No.
That's exactly who you need to talk to, because Don actually wrote a book on exactly this type of stuff. I just got it in the mail yesterday. I'm already on the 7th or 8th chapter. Mm-hmm. I picked it up and couldn't put it down until my eyes just rolled back in my head.
I've emailed the American Civil Liberties Union. I've emailed the Electronic Frontier Foundation. I called the Electronic Frontier Foundation. I've, you know, told them my evidence. They're not interested.
It's crazy. They're all on the hook, Mike. They're all part of the problem. Mike, thanks very much
all
for
right.
calling in.
Bye-bye.
I suggest the Control Factor. Folks, okay. Stay tuned. There's more to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
Back in March, we discussed Mexican President Felipe Calderon, his charge that the gun lobby in the U.S. bears some responsibility for the brutal drug violence in Mexico. The thinking, evidently, is that if Americans couldn't legally exercise their constitutionally guaranteed fundamental human right of the individual to keep and bear arms, that the Mexican narco-terrorists would stop machine-gunning each other and anyone else unlucky enough to get in the way. That was just the latest installment in the saga of Mexican violence being used to justify attacks on Americans' gun rights. Recently, though, it's from our northern border that we hear that our right to the means of defending our families, our lives, our liberty, and our homes must be trampled. One third of all guns in the world are in the U.S., and half the guns used to commit crimes in Canada come from south of the border. So yes, this country needs and wants an international arms treaty. Here in Canada, we live next to a country with as many guns as people, and those guns are killing Canadians. This is the main argument for an international agreement. Now, that comes from the Coalition for Gun Control President Wendy Cukier during an April 22nd conference in Toronto. Notice, she says, that those guns are killing people. The guns are actually getting together. Hey, Beretta. What's up, Glock? You know what? Talk to me. Let's get AR-15 over here. Hey, Colt AR-15. Yeah, wait a minute. We're going to get Marlin 30-30 over here. Okay, you guys, what we're going to do is we're going to kill the Canucks. The Canucks are going down, baby. It's like the movie Canadian Bacon. Only it's for real, and we don't need humans to launch us. We're going to go out there on our own, get together with some of the ammo, but hey, let's get together with the ammo guys over here. They're at the convention for ammo killers, and they're going to jump on board, load themselves up into us, and we're going to go blasting Canadians because, damn it, we're American guns. Except maybe that Glock. So really, this is really what she's getting at. Those guns are killing people. Well, frustrated by pro-gun gains made in many state legislatures, some high-profile court cases, and plunging public support for forcible citizen disarmament, also known as gun control measures, the gun haters increasingly appear to be exploring their options to bypass our legislative process, our courts, our Constitution, and the very will of the American people to impose all kinds of draconian restrictions on gun ownerships via international treaties. Look at Chicago Mayor Daley's intention to sue gun manufacturers in the world court. It's the latest manifestation of the international gambit. One thing they fail to see, however, is that international treaties cannot subvert an individual's rights. Guys, here's the deal. The Constitution doesn't give us any rights. We are born with rights. The Constitution just happens to list several things, specifically a top 10 list in the Bill of Rights, that they guarantee that are protected. We already have them, and the Constitution recognizes we have them. They are inalienable, God-given inalienable rights from the time of birth. This is our rights. And we are going to put this down in paper that we recognize those rights. You understand? Like all proposals to make people safer by rendering them defenseless, these efforts are predicated on lies. Now, here's an article from Canada we should revisit just a bit. It says, firearms flow from unregulated areas to regulated areas. This is the case from gun-heavy South Africa to surrendering countries, as well as for the U.S. to Canada. Guns in South Africa are unregulated? Seriously, guys? You got to be kidding me. That lie is small potatoes compared to this one, though. Although civilians to bear arms can increase casualties, allowing civilians to bear arms can increase casualties immeasurably. The Virginia Tech shooting resulted in 32 deaths, while the one at Dawson College produced one death with several wounded. Why the difference? Standing orders. In the U.S., police must worry about crossfire from self-defending civilians, so it takes longer to secure a perimeter. In Montreal, police were able to respond to gunfire immediately. You've got to be kidding me. What a stretch of an imagination that is. Absolutely bull. Virginia Tech was designated a gun-free zone. So was Columbine. So was the scene of nearly every mass shooting in the U.S. wherever the, whatever the reason for police in the U.S. to take a cautious approach when responding to shootings, crossfire from self-defending civilians ain't it. The fact that a given agenda depends on lies is a pretty reliable indicator that it's an agenda to be opposed without any reservation and quite forcefully. That takes a total segue going into this next story that says two youth workers who were recently honored for battling knife crime have been stabbed by thugs. Listen to this. Omar Abulabadi, 20, and Amin Hassoun, 23, set up a football team which has kept more than 1,000 youngsters off the streets. But during a regular training session in a park, a 20-strong gang turned up, picked up their ball, and refused to hand it back. A scrap broke out as the Yobs, whatever that is, taunted them. I think it's supposed to be youths. After they drew blades, Omar was stabbed in the calf and Amin was knifed in the back. Two other players, age 19 and 22, were also wounded. All four were taken to the hospital. Omar and Amin were given a Mayor's Civic Award. This is in Islington, North London, last month for their project. But now they have canceled the team's forthcoming games in nearby Finsbury Park, where the attack happened, for they fear they will be targeted again. You see where we're going with this. This is actually in England where they're not allowed to protect themselves. Omar, who is recovering from his wound, said yesterday, "If we don't feel safe, how can we continue? It was such a shock. We are trying to do something positive with the community and get people away from knife crime." Amin added, "They got their knives out and went for one of our players. We went to help them and we all got stabbed." Islington's mayor, Anna Barrett, has promised to try to find the team somewhere else to play. She said, "It is admonable for lads trying to do really good things to be attacked. I'm totally shocked." Detective Simon Jones says, "It appears that a seemingly trivial incident escalated. Four alleged gang members, two age 20, one of 17, and one just 14, have been arrested, and of course, they're loose on bail." Now, how does this get fixed? If the people of England and New London were actually allowed to protect themselves, you could have fans in the stands that have guns. Hey, you know, it's all cool. We're good. I don't think that knife-wielding gang members are going to come up to a stadium that has fans that are there and the stands are filled with guns. I don't see it happening. I don't see it even close to happening. So now they're going to run away. The gang is won. We want you guys out of here. We're going to stab you away. I like the, "It appears that a seemingly trivial incident escalated," by Detective Simon Jones. That's the way it appears, huh? Good. So when they take away our guns, guys, this is exactly the type of stuff we're going to be looking at. You can bet your bottom dollar. Gun control is nothing more than giving a lot of power and authority over to the criminal element. It is an endorsement of to violent criminals to go out and practice their craft. If you further restrict guns, you further restrict the ability of the citizens to have guns and protect themselves, all you're doing is endorsing violent criminals to have an easier day at the office. That's it. That's the way it works. We cannot allow guns to be taken away. We cannot allow these zealots back into office in November that would like to take our guns away. There's a couple of interesting things. Anybody out there ever heard of a guy named Bill Kristol? Or Kristol, however you pronounce his name. This guy, he's part of Fox News. And he considers himself a neoconservative. Others have actually even referred to Bill Kristol as the godfather of neoconservatism, which means incredibly conservative. Just unmercifully conservative. Here's a quote that he said on Sunday during Fox News Sunday's The Roundtable, right? He said, We have a federal system in this country, and conservatives believe in federalism. Are you serious? You are no longer neoconservative. That statement right there sends you all the way from 3 o'clock over to about 10:30 on the level of being to the right or being to the left. You're officially liberal, bordering on neoliberal. We have a federal system in this country, and conservatives believe in federalism. I'm conservative, and I do not. So, how did those words taste coming out? Who put you up to that, Bill Kristol? I don't know. But it's pretty disgusting. And I have to tell you, a lot of different groups that might be considered minority groups, historically, have really started to see the light. When Obama got into office and things went so far to the left with the left-leaning House and the left-leaning Senate in the incredible left-pegged White House, a lot of otherwise traditionally liberal groups have started to come out of the woodworks. Now, one thing that's always confused me is why Jews traditionally are liberal. I don't get it. If you look at the Jewish community, there's a huge percentage of people in the Jewish community, of members of the Jewish community, that are business owners, that don't want any regulation, don't want a bunch of government harassment, want to make their money, want their family to benefit, want to be able to practice their religion and get together with other friends and relatives and folks and just do what they want to do without a bunch of government regulation getting in the way. That is almost the basic platform for being conservative, yet they vote liberal. Now, they don't want their stuff taken away, and they don't want any handouts. But they vote for people who want to do wealth redistribution. They don't want their wealth taken. You'd think that this would be compared to, you know, mistakes of the past and not repeated now. Well, a lot more people in the historically democratic and liberal Jewish community are becoming much, much more conservative and becoming that way rapidly. The black population, African Americans, the blacks in this country, traditionally very, very far on the left. Traditionally incredibly supportive of Obama being the first black president. In fact, he's the first half-black president. So anything that you would say negatively about Obama, if you're black or white, could be considered racist because you're speaking about the other half of him. If I were to say something negative about Obama, somebody might classify me as a racist because he's half-black, not considering that he's half-white. If you're black and you say something against Obama, you're going to be racist because he's half-white, not because he's half-black. You get it? It's a double-edged sword. Anybody else would say, I guess you have to be half-black and half-white to be able to have an opinion and not be considered a racist. Unless half of you is being racist against the opposite half of him. It gets confusing, doesn't it? Well, along that lines, there are a lot of reverberations out of the Obama election. And here's just one he probably never really anticipated. There's at least 32 blacks that are running for Congress this year as Republicans. The single largest surge since Reconstruction, according to Republican Party officials. You just don't see that. Obama's alienated, well, I shouldn't say just Obama. He's had help from Pelosi and Reid and all of their minions, have alienated the American citizens so much and so fast. Guys, again, I've said it before, I'm going to repeat it now. Never in modern history has any country gone so far to the left, so fast, without a coup or armed revolution, as the United States of America has, since Obama took office on January 20th, 2009. It has been unreal. And now, because of the Arizona immigration law that was put on the books that won't take effect till sometime later this summer. Obama now says on yesterday on Cinco de Mayo in front of a huge Latino group that he wants immigration reform introduced and debated in Congress this year. It's a hot button issue. I swear to God, I hope they do it, because anybody who forgot about health care that might in 6 months try to reelect the scumbag who voted for it, once they start supporting this immigration reform, which they know is unpopular, but they want to do it anyhow, because they figure America's memory is about as short as a grain of rice, that several months afterwards, people aren't going to remember about it and we'll be good, and we're going to garnish all the Latino votes because we said you guys are legal, like happened in 86. Well, I hope to God they bring it up and they debate it on. I don't even care if they vote on it. Just as long as we know where people stand, so it's fresh. Okay, wait, you did healthcare reform or Obamacare, socialized medicine, which is totally unconstitutional. And now you want to do this whole amnesty for illegals as well. All right, good. Make sure I check that box, which doesn't have your name. It has a person running against you in November. Folks, you have to financially support the good guys. More after the break.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong, if this is not where you belong.
So we have a bunch of Hispanics that are all pissed off about what's going on in Arizona, and all Arizona's looking to do is enforce at the state level what the feds refuse to enforce at the federal level, although they're supposed to. So they came, they saw, and they threatened to commit or committed violence in the name of open borders and workers' rights. But alas, reports decrying the insane rage and hate of the May Day angry mob in Santa Cruz, New Mexico, got lost in the mail. The Marxist media refused to cover it. In Santa Cruz, they carried torches and vandalized at least 18 businesses. Downtown business owners spent their Sundays repairing shattered windows and doors after a May Day rally on Saturday night turned into a riot with approximately 250 people marching along Pacific Avenue, some carrying makeshift torches, throwing large rocks and paint bombs, and spray painting walls with graffiti. Wow. Isn't that stereotypical? A bunch of Mexicans with a bunch of spray cans. You didn't do your demographic any favors with that one, guys. At least 18 businesses suffered damages during the rally in honor of international workers that began at 9 p.m. That means illegal aliens that are out there working under the table. It escalated into a mayhem around 10:30 p.m., according to police. Investigators estimate damage at about $100,000, though some business owners said it could be more. No injuries were reported because everybody else was at home. On Sunday, sea green colored glass littered sidewalks where windows and glass doors used to be, but were now laying there smashed. Maintenance workers, many getting called in the middle of the night, boarded up windows with plywood until new sheets of glass could be installed. The vandalized businesses included Urban Outfitters, Pete's Coffee, Noah's Bagels, Jamba Juice, Velvet Underground, and Dell Williams Jewelers. The unoccupied Rittenhouse building was also damaged. A police car was vandalized with rocks and paint, according to department spokesman Zach Friend. Why wasn't this on the national news? Well, I'll tell you how to stop them from rioting. Once they get together, all of the store owners and all of the local people who won't tolerate lawlessness, grab their guns and go down to the streets and say, not here, not my building, keep on a walking past. It's a public street, it's a public thoroughfare. Say whatever you want. In America, you can do that. But if you vandalize me, you vandalize my business, or you vandalize my neighbor. See this gun? The Second Amendment right allows me to defend it. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Stay tuned for the Control Factor coming up next.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.